Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I know it's been a few days. I'm Tyson Harley. A quick rant of truth for you. You know, I drew this parallel a long, long time ago, and it is just coming to fruition. So I want to emphasize something. A lot of times the Scales of Truth, you just really emphasize of points that, you know, it's not that news doesn't cover things, it's that they undercover things. They cover it just enough to have cover. In the old days, I would find this out by finding that somebody did cover something about Vince Foster, but it was once on nearly a back page, and then it was never emphasized on the front page or even close to it. It would be these stories where, okay, that was a nice first breadcrumb, and then you just never picked up on it. And in the smaller versions of that, or I should say the microcosm of that, would be that some stories would kind of cover both sides, like they should if you were a true investigator trying to understand something, but not really, because it would be hidden in the back of the long article. One side, or the thing that they didn't want to emphasize, the thing that they did want to emphasize, or the cover that they wanted to present in an article would be high in the article, repeated in the article, and then the other side that they weren't trying to cover for might be mentioned briefly and not explored in the latter half of the article. Similarly, they will select experts and really go into the expert detail toward the forward end of the article, but then just simply not go into the true alternative expert theory later on. And so this is another case of this situation. My emphases 2 years ago, when a certain demon, Anthony Fearchy, came into play. And here we are. What I want to point out is the exact parallel, but then the magnification of his role. And I've mentioned it before in other episodes, between what he's doing now and what he did, and really the overall, how things are settling between the AIDS crisis and now. We are settling now to no one is going to get punished, and we're going to normalize the output, normalize the destruction done. So I'm talking about things like, okay, where now we know that there are things like artery pasta that the very first, at least Pfizer's very first dive at all in the messenger RNA. Previous episodes I've covered, Bourla, the Pfizer CEO who was brought in maybe because he was a big windbag not long before the Pfizer opportunity to make trillions off of our own debt money after. I say trillions, they're not making trillions, that's an exaggeration, but certainly hundreds of millions and billions off of our own debt money, because we are going to, you know, we are subsidizing tax subsidization, debt subsidization of our own victimization of our health issues by the non-tested vaccine, and how Bourla for the first admitted that, oh yeah, this is the first time we've done mRNA at all. We've never done it successfully. And so, you know, we know that the mRNA, which tells the body to overcreate something, which tells the body to create something new and has not been tested. We know it has resulted in artery pasta. We also know, just go listen, what that it is, the white fibrous protein structures that look in essence like pasta inside arteries and veins. Totally unnatural to this point, clogging up arteries and veins. That is what is happening. These are the immediate deaths that happen. I should say the sudden deaths died suddenly within about 5 or 6 months. Additionally, we know that the nature of the blood turns into small speck of sand-sized clots just as it's floating around. And as these go downstream, they result in the extra strokes that we're seeing. So all of this stuff is proven. But now we're seeing all of this, hey, I just saw a commercial for the first time today where you can get this cool app that's now available on Amazon. A little equipment. And how much? Not only 500, not 1,000. A little piece of equipment that can take your EKG on the spot right to your smartphone. Well, this is going to be a big business because the cardiovascular business is a giant business. Now, we are now changing norms. And something that started with a respiratory illness that did not really kill anybody short of them having massive comorbidities, not killing anybody young, so much so that almost never was it even detectable, is now turning into the cover for those same ages and younger dying suddenly from cardiovascular events. We're seeing this. No one at this moment is going to be punished. No, Stu Peters is trying. Some people are trying. But with all the money that Big Pharma has, the parallel is this. We still have HIV medicines that damage the immune system being sold. Now, the initial one, AZT, is on its about fifth different name. It is still a profit center to be giving based on HIV. Hey, you didn't know you were sick, but we can detect it. Sound familiar? And now the AZT, which is killing, which killed people back when it was overdosed with it. And now the only difference is that they don't get as much AZT, now going by a different name. Other chemotherapies are still being used for AZT, for, quote, HIV, quote, the virus that causes AIDS. And these other chemotherapies also very, very bad for your immune system. And even if you feel good, gay people and others, don't you worry about it. We have that test. And that test says that you should continue to take it. And even if it doesn't say that you should continue to take it, if you want to stay undetectable, so not even that this alleged test, which PCR may have been first used back during HIV, I forget. You can listen to some of my episodes. I may have covered that. I'd have to think about it. But even if you haven't tested positive, if you continue to take this just as a preemptive, then you will remain undetectable. And if you remain undetectable, which is nowhere near whether or not you have any kind of symptoms or not, then you can feel free to have sex because you're not going to give anybody, and this is not gay bashing, this is just showing you the pattern, something that was initially, oh yeah, you may not even know you have it, but if you take our test, we can tell you have it. And if you do not have symptoms, but we tell you that you have it, then you should be scared shitless and take this preemptive medication, and we can get a shit ton of money from the federal government if you just take the preemptive. Don't you worry about the side effects of the preemptive. Don't you worry about the fact that back in the 90s and now ongoing and ongoing and ongoing, if you don't believe me, watch any of those commercials that talk about how it will reduce red blood counts, white blood counts, and can be bad for your bone marrow. That's what I'm talking about back for the HIV treatments. If you keep taking it, then, it's a good, remember, Fauci, I know I interrupt myself a lot, just bear with me. Fauci's the one who said, even if you feel good, you should take it preemptively. Early on in the AIDS crisis, that's what killed a bunch of people through chemotherapy poisoning, and they died as skeletons. And that doesn't happen anymore. Now, why? Why? Because they're not being overdosed by chemotherapy. That's why. No one's dying looking like skeletons. But we're still getting to sell the crap because continuing to sell the same medications and similar medications ends up being your cover. Well, how could that be true? We've been selling the same medications for 20 years, for 30 years, since a AIDS crisis first happened. How can it be true that it was ever a bad thing? Because it was, and you're liars, and you're just continuing to make the money. And the mere fact that you're making the money and civilizing it is now creating your own cover. It's a very good parallel to, well, how can banks be such a giant scam? How can banking be such an organized crime? After all, the fake money we get to create builds nice brick and marble buildings that look foundational, literally and figuratively, to our society. How can the nature of banking be like organized crime and mobsters and the like when it creates such great buildings? Well, let's go back to Marxism and Soviet era. Guess what they could create? Well, they could create nice buildings as they ransacked the collective purse strings. So here we are back, going away from that parallel, back to the parallel between the AIDS crisis and how we continue to sell, but on a lesser level because it provides cover. It's bad for you. If you are, quote, have been diagnosed with AIDS in the past, but are now, quote, undetectable, then you don't have anything to worry about. But they've kind of built into it, yes, but you could be a weapon if you're detectable. As soon as you're, quote, detectable, then you're a weapon if you have sex. Sound like the whole, well, it might be okay for you, but you'll kill your grandmother. Huh, great parallel, right? And think now, let's go to Fauci as we go to, wait, the first thing, Fauci is one of the grand threads here outside of the general pattern between the two. Not that big a threat until we told you it was. Some people certainly died, definitely, and absolutely, but it was exaggerated. It's just that in the second scenario, we brought on the same person. HIV looked like a dress rehearsal compared to the scale of the second one. And we knew, man, if this guy can lie with no qualms and get himself out of that, where he should have been hung for, because people died based on Fauci's recommendations that AZT be taken preemptively. At the initial levels, people died of massive chemotherapy poisoning when the initial thing was not really the harm. It didn't end up being the harm on the mass collective level. Okay, definitely many, many people died as a result of taking AZT to an overdose level, and they kept giving it to them. The PCR was probably no more produced and exact then than it was for this. Because you give, for instance, the Arthur Ashe situation. Well, I've heard the treatment can be bad for you, but luckily I'm strong enough to take it. Well, no, he wasn't. He died at 100 pounds or whatever he was. When he used to weigh 160, 165 is a very healthy, not really, really far removed from retirement, former professional tennis player, the heights of cardiovascular fitness, the heights of general health. And so he took it and he died because he died of chemotherapy poisoning. With his bones wasted away, wasting disease from chemotherapy. And once they stopped giving it at such levels, then people could handle it. It was still very harmful to their system, but not as harmful, not death level harmful. And then just backed it off and backed it off. And so they could rewrite history. And so then we have coronavirus. All the studies show that if you weren't comorbid and you weren't older, you could have potentially a kind of a bad case, but the idea that it would be deadly was just statistically improbable to impossible. Impossible without comorbidities as you go younger and younger. In fact, the test itself was pretty approximate. They would hardly pop a positive. Guys, remember history. This is what they're trying to forget, get you to forget. They're trying to convolute two different things. And that's what they do. It's the same thing they did with the AZT thing. The same thing that they did with the HIV thing. Hey, you've got it. Well, that's funny. I feel perfectly fine. Well, be scared now because you've got it. We just told you you did. What about reality in front of me? You don't look at reality in front of you. Now start taking AZT. Told you you felt bad. You're right. I do feel bad about it. Yes, but is it because you're taking the AZT or because you have HIV? Which one is it? Because remember, the most prominent protesters, but just within their own community because they weren't given coverage. And it became like, oh, you can't talk about gay people having HIV and how it's not a real disease. Don't you care about gay people and HIV? How dare you talk about and question the narrative? Well, wouldn't me be questioning the narrative because I'm saying people are being harmed unnecessarily? Wouldn't that be in their interest? No, it's against their interest. It's such a parallel, people. And so coronavirus comes up. Oh, we can't keep calling it coronavirus. People continue to notice that coronavirus is a part of our flus. So we must not call it coronavirus anymore. We must call it COVID. So in the flus, you've got the ones that were based on any number of initial flus as they were initially novel. And then they became, oh, it's just the family of those diseases that are respiratory illnesses that are no longer novel. And among those were coronavirus family of diseases. So we can't call it coronavirus anymore. People will not go for our bullcrap quite as long. So we now call it COVID-19. And it doesn't really harm anybody, even 45 and younger, unless they've got major comorbidities. But now we know that 45, 35, 25, 17, 15, 13 year-olds are dying from sudden death with cardiovascular causes. They admit that, but until a proper study is done, they will just say it has not been proven that this has anything to do with the clot shot. Even as they also have to admit they never done messenger RNA any before. Just like before, AZT was too dangerous and not proven as a medication, except that when they tried to use it for chemotherapy, it was even too lethal for chemotherapy. Put it back on the shelf. Hey, it's not been used. In an emergency situation, we do get to use it, and therefore we get to do all of our marketing about AZT and the emergency and the marketing. And the pressure, the psychological pressure and scream downs override the reality of an overly lethal chemotherapy that causes that destroys the immune system being used for a disease that destroys the immune system, therefore mimicking the original problem. Therefore, you don't know which is which, and they still get to use it and make all kinds of money off of it. So now we have not that the vaccine mimicked it. Oh, but wait, it did, because it caused the spike proteins. It literally had the body create the spike proteins, which, quote, science, to the extent it was being used, described as the worst part of the disease. That's an exact parallel. And then as it has side effects, which are much, 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 much worse, like blood vessel pasta, we just convolute the two and continue to sell the solution. We continue to sell the solution. And as we keep just saying the emperor has clothes when he's naked, and we keep just saying it and saying it and saying it with a straight face, eventually
The fact that we say it with a straight face becomes its own cover story for the initial claim that there's nothing wrong with the solution. When there's an entire thing wrong with the solution, Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, who deserves a public hanging through due process, of course, he writes his book, A Moonshot, and so on and so forth. Now, back to why did they pull the skeleton out of the closet? Because of his inherent ability to speak from all sides of his mouth to claim to be an alleged authority that will speak from all sides of his mouth, not be one bit concerned about anybody taking him to justice because he survived for 25 years before he was pulled out of the closet again. The other pulled out of the closet, pulled out of the box, pulled out of storage. They said, man, this guy's ability to say anything and everything, not care when he's called upon it, have the perfect ability to then, personally attack those accusing him, deny what he said before. And it doesn't matter anyway, because he said everything from all directions. And then still somehow, keep the networking and so not really be taken down. This ability, short of maybe a Bill Clinton, is nearly unrivaled. And so why not use him again? And here we are with him again. The difference is instead of causing tens to hundreds of thousands of deaths and of causing damage to hundreds of thousands to millions of people, the guy now has caused hundreds of thousands to millions of deaths with his recommendations and caused physical damage to tens of millions to hundreds of millions to billions. So it really was a dress rehearsal in essence. And that is not to say that not to minimize what happened to those folks who believed it back in the 90s and since, before they went, hey, if we do a cocktail for treatment of HIV, turns out it's a lot less lethal. Yeah, give me less poison and it's less lethal. Dilute the poison and it's less lethal. Give me half the poison and then some orange juice and I'm going to do better. All I'm saying by the fact of calling one a dress rehearsal is just to truly emphasize again that, the HIV thing was bad, but it was targeted specifically. I don't mean targeted in a conscious sense, but in the practical result, as a straight male who wasn't worried about getting tested, I wasn't, and obviously, honestly, I wasn't even old enough at the time, eventually, I was not in that group, and it was something that was the scare through that segment of the population. It wasn't that straight people ended up feeling like they had to be forced to take a test all the time. And so it ended up being more resultant in the population that supposedly was more likely to get it, they should test. And if you want to know whether that was really, obviously, so that was the difference between the two situations. In the second situation, they did the same thing and they said, how can we make this bigger? And you can say whether or not Big Pharma was really in on the planning of it or not. How can we make something where what turned into a massive profit center for us that still serves us well, the AIDS medications, how can we, instead of having that being in only the gay population, how can we have it being much broader? Well, on the front end and the back end, selling it and making a larger population. But whether or not you believe that was the plan, that ends up being the result. We went from, less than 10% of the population who is really concerned because, remember, there were two things. Are you gay and are you promiscuous, right? And or are you, do you use needles? you know, and are you promiscuous? So it was a small percentage. If you're straight and or if you weren't promiscuous, certainly in that combination, you're not taking any tests. You're just not going for that garbage of, I know you feel well. I know you feel well, but shouldn't you take the test? No, I'm not going to take your fucking test. Go fuck yourself, Fauci. And over a period of time, of course, it calmed down after people. I lived through this. I mean, I was young, but I lived through this. I've mentioned it in other ones, United Colors of Benetton. The fright of someone dying, looking like a Holocaust victim. Now, remember, they've never really said, oh, that's because we're on the variant of the AIDS. No, AIDS is AIDS is AIDS is AIDS is AIDS. They didn't call it a respiratory illness. We didn't go to, well, now we're on variants of variants of variants of variants of variants. Right. And so it's still supposedly the full thing. I mean, at least on the high, you know, cultural pop science level of things, they've never said, well, yeah, I mean, obviously AIDS is not quite the same thing that it was because it was novel back then. And now it's not novel anymore. And I think part of that might be because of the nature of respiratory versus not, because this wasn't a respiratory illness. Right. And so it could be, and I'd have to brush up on it, that the respiratory illnesses are the ones that vary much, much quicker. But the point being that, you know, it is not that it is a variant. Remember, it's supposed to be just as strong, even though it's 35 years old. It's not the same thing. I don't know why, because it's supposedly a virus. So why wouldn't, I mean, it's not spread enough around the world after 30 years. After 35 years, 37 years, give or take 84, right? 38 years. Why wouldn't he be spread enough around that any and all potential variants, unless and until it's novel for some unknown reason, because they've never talked about a new novel version of AIDS, why would that not, if it's not discussed, then why wouldn't it be as a virus that the human body in the collective, you know, it's becoming less and less of a problem because so much of humanity has seen some aspect of this virus to this point. But of course it hasn't. They're still making their profit off of it. And that's going to be, if we're not careful, where we go with this. And that seems to be the writing on the wall. As idiots in Congress go, maybe we should have an investigation on it. No, collect your data, and if you have the data, the only thing you do is have a specific study with very, very specific parameters, and run off of that. Honestly, there are enough studies already, but have a specific study with very, very specific parameters. And one is that absolutely unvaxxed. That's the control group. And then the other one is vaxxed. And then keep track of once or twice or three times or four times or five times. And actually, you know, what about death records? We can't cross death records to whether vaxxed or unvaxxed. We can't pull the medical histories. Because remember, I've told you before, it's turned into this idea of if nobody gives you the details, the best you have is anecdote, right? And the subservient media is not telling you those details. It's left to those of us non-normies to go, well, go look at their social feed. Unfortunately, as morbid as that sounds, when the news doesn't cover it, when the news doesn't pick up on things, somebody has to. And so when you're suspicious, you go, yep, look right here. They said they're very happy to be vaxxed again. So they're definitely vaxxed. And so that should be the first part of the investigation. But we don't end up having the information to go further into it in many cases. And the media is not picking it up. So this is where we're going to go if we're not careful. You know, but you could easily, if on a large sense, we said we have the medical records, the medical, we need to cooperate because this is a huge potential problem. The first use of mRNA might have really bad side effects. No shit, Sherlock. You just told the body to create a bunch of stuff. In your very first effort at mRNA, Pfizer admitting that to this point has been unsuccessful. Their first application of mRNA, the rest of any attempts, and I guess that means in a test sense and not a beta on the whole population test, they were unsuccessful, and so they did not implement them. And so you tell the body to create a bunch of stuff, and then you imagine your first instructions are awesome with something that is very, very fragile as mRNA and mRNA, that is. And so you don't imagine that there could be some other side effects like bad instructions or different instructions because they're not ironclad in quality. They're very fragile and they have to be handled in a very specific way. And you imagine that they've always handled that very specific way once they get to the end point, and that you really even know once you're messing with the protein instructions, you know, what's going to be created. I mean, you think that's a connection to all the cancers? What's cancer? Start to create something and then over-create it. Interesting. The body is creating too much of something for some reason because something's gone haywire. And your instructions say, go create a bunch of stuff? Oh, yeah, but we said very specifically. Yeah, well, I hear you. But on the other hand, you're beta testing it on the population. And I'm absolutely aware and are sure that it at least has a side effect, because otherwise, where does blood vessel pasta come from? Where does that white fibrous structures with inside blood vessels come from? If you're so specific and sure that other things don't get created and don't overgrow, if you're so sure of that, where does that come from? Does it come from a side effect of your allegedly so perfect instructions? Or does it come from the truncated version of your instructions because they're too delicate and sometimes they get truncated because the messenger RNA instructions have been truncated? They've fallen apart a little bit. One other thing I'll repeat after as you say, clear parallel. The perfect parallel to HIV in its ongoing coverage and still money being made. One other thing I want to mention. I've actually forgotten it. Hopefully it'll come back. But a second thing I wanted to mention anyway is an emphasis. I've talked about this before. Go look at the numbers for HIV. I've looked at these before and the incidence. Now think about this. This thing has been around the world for 35 years. Alleged HIV and related deaths. I want you to think about this as you think about Big Pharma and how just still treating it is its own cover for the original scandal. How could it be? After all, we give the treatment away for free sometimes. Go look at the, quote, HIV incidence and go look at, quote, HIV deaths around the world. It's been around the world at this time. It's been around for 35, coming up on 40 years. All right. It's had plenty of time to settle and spread, and it obviously has. But if you go look at HIV incidence, the per capita, you will find that some African nations allegedly have 100 times, and I think maybe even 1,000, is incidence percentages of per capita of other countries, including Western countries. Now, what's happening there? And the death rate, I can't remember if it's 1,000 times as much, but it is tens and hundreds of times as much. Now, why could that be? It's because certain countries are being victimized by Big Pharma. And so they are down in Africa more likely to still be being categorized. and being told on a regular basis, is it an HIV, is it an AIDS death? And even if you say it's not because they're dying of the AZT, they're still selling that, giving it away down there, and it's leading to its own legitimacy. Even if they're not dying of AZT, if they're giving it more like the same levels that they do up here, they're still over-marketing it to the poor and underdeveloped countries such that it's being categorized that way. And as a result, if you want to go see a per capita, I almost guarantee the per capita dosages of AZT and the other AIDS, the AIDS medications are huge in Africa, and they're highly subsidized. So you see how it's the cart leading the horse. Look, if we really, really get the publicity's, the public's attention, because down there, it's not an, down there, I guarantee you the approach is, oh, no. It's not that the gay population should be considering it. It's that the African population should. So it's being shoved down their throat on a regular basis as far as it's the validity, as far as the validity of it. And as a result, you tell me how can that be possibly natural that the categorization, apples to apples, is hundreds to thousands of times as much in African countries as they are around the world. Now, I mean, there are a lot of countries in Africa, but I can't say off the top of my head, what is it, 50 anyway? You know, 40 to 50, and I forget if it's 100. There are, you know, the countries in Africa are really big, but it's also some of them, but they're also really big population. It's a big, big continent. And so how can it be that something like 4 to 5 to 7 of the top 10 highest in incidence as per capita are countries in Africa? It's cuts, their approaches down there are different. Oh, no, you've got to be checking for HIV regularly. Everybody. And we've got to be treating you, everybody the same. And over here we're going, listen, when and if I start getting something that appears to be HIV, I'll look into it. But until then, no. So I can't think of the other little parallel I wanted to bring up, the one last point. But there's your episode on, and to think I started with a quick rant of truth. So much for that idea. There's your episode on the true and absolute parallels from the beginning, the idea of, well, just trust our test. You better be careful, trust our test. Oh, we've got to bring in Fauci, who will misrepresent and tell you how it's the test, it's not how you feel. Oh, we have to bring in Fauci to continue to argue it. Oh, we have to bring in Fauci, who I can't remember. I was way too young at that time to know whether many people criticized Fauci at the time, but his ability to be a Teflon, despite some people being aware enough, Duesberg and others, that he was lying through his teeth and being highly unscientific and being very, very just pro-pharma and pro-pharma sales. Well, we know his ability to get past that. We know his ability to dodge and parry, right? We know his ability to do bullet time, you know, out of the Matrix, Keanu Reeves, right? And somehow not get hit despite his true scumbaggery, worthy of the public gallows. So we bring him in, the exact parallel. And then afterwards, as much as being known, much as being discovered by those non-normies and a few normies who get into it a little bit, he still is just Teflon. And then we normalize the toxic treatments and sometimes fatal treatments, and just keep using, just keep saying it. Well, obviously, you want to get your HIV medicine. Obviously, keep getting your tests. Obviously, keep taking your HIV medication. And now, obviously, you need to keep taking your PCR test. Obviously, you need to keep taking your antigen tests. Obviously, you need to keep up with your vaccine dosages. Obviously, we're going to keep selling the vaccines and still calling it COVID-19 years later, when all science says by then it will be a regular variant and would be part of the coronavirus family of respiratory illnesses that are counted in flu season. Just like other viruses that were respiratory and initially crossed over allegedly from animals but had family names to them, are now, H1N1, for instance, part of the regular flu variants. Well, even though they're regular flu variants at this point, and that's all they could really be called, we will still give specific COVID-19 vaccinations because we have made it, it is a much greater business than just adding it to the one of the possibilities of when they decide what's going to be in this, what's going to be the particular mix in this year's respiratory illness flu vaccine. Well, those by themselves are profitable enough, but not as profitable as still appealing to the really, really deadly, quote, pandemic version. Even though by no accounts would there be any reason to not put that back in with the R1N1 and the H1N1, H1N1 and the other respiratory illness variants that are a part of the flu family. It doesn't matter if there's no reason not to put them over there. Our reason is that we want to market COVID-19 still. Like, literally, we're about to hit 3 years on this because we know in some of my very early episodes, although unfortunately they may have been actually Facebook videos, which I don't have up anymore, talk about the parking lot. In reality, it was happening probably in September and October of 2019 in China itself, where satellite photos showed a major difference in parking lot population. I mean, day to day. I mean, I'm sorry, year to date, you know, like between 18 versus 19, and how many of the hospitals around Wuhan were much more packed come October November of 19 than they were in 18. So 3 years over, truly, potentially 3 years later globally, and coming up on 3 years later in the U.S., we are still calling it COVID-19. Now, think of how non-scientific that is. Of course, we're calling it variants, but again, I tell you, that would then go back to the coronavirus family. And if they want to call it the COVID-19 family, because it's so wildly different, but now we are on COVID-19 variants. Many, 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 many variants later. It is now no more than the COVID-19 variant family of respiratory illnesses that should go into the flu family and should be considered as one of many things that they want to put in the respiratory, the flu vaccine. But they don't want to do that because they're making their money off of the messenger RNA solution, even though the messenger RNA solution is wildly harmful and wildly dangerous. It is a different version of treatment that they get to market and sell differently. And for the normies who won't look into anything, it's the newest and the best. And they still don't want to give up the ghost that they want to expand mRNA as opposed to the older and simpler, more elegant solution of just giving the dead version of the actual virus. Because that would not be the new tech that they get to, tie back to the emergency, super expensive stuff that they would charge tens to hundreds of times as much as for just the flu vaccine. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you're enjoying this NFL Saturday. I'm going to get back to
being a little bit behind on my recording, try to catch up on these games. Gonna go to a Nutcracker tonight. How about them apples? Tyson being a little bit cultured.
Just a little bit. I will have to learn how to stick out my pinky finger.
And there's even a dress code. So, yeah, no short shorts, I guess. No flip-flops. Too bad. It's the way I wanted to enjoy Nutcracker. But it's always also kind of ironic that the Nutcracker has a dress code, considering what the male ballet dudes get to wear. I mean, should not my dress code get to include, like, nut-revealing tights? I mean, if it's good enough for the performers at the formal event, what about me? Why can't I wear nut-revealing tights to the Nutcracker? Why not? I think it's perfectly appropriate. I should go in a looking like elf, because that looks a little bit like a male ballet performer when you think about it. Why not that? Why not that? Except with much tighter and thinner tights, you know, like the, that is in really poor taste, excuse me. You should be wearing heavier tights, okay? Because I can see the outline of everything. And I shouldn't know that you're excited right now. I'm not excited, I just have to pee. All right. So, okay, I guess as I think through that, I'll wear regular dress. I'll wear khakis. Khakis are probably more appropriate. All right, guys, enjoy your weekend. I know that was some seriousness, but it's true. Absolute parallels. Absolute parallels. It is an okay day in the Sunflower State. A bit cold, but not way cold, but sunny. I went out and actually walked over to my co-host's house just to do a favor over there as she's out of town, and it is within walking distance for your Tyson, your favorite Tyson. On a 28-degree day, you bundle up, you put the stocking cap on, you put some gloves on. It's not windy, it's sunny, it's a little cold, but at least not windy, and it's sunny. So get out there. I mean, as these, we're almost to the shortest day of the year, which is awesome, because winter sucks. We're less than a week until the shortest day of the year. A little bit more than that to the latest sunset of the year, because strangely, those don't fall on the same day. There's a reason. I've discussed it before, but that's we're not going to go into it now. So, but you know, at the height of the Saturday and Sunday, you can get your sun time, which definitely helps your mood. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth. Follow me there on your favorite platforms. Follow me as a podcast, and or like the episodes. Fiddle around with your little notification settings. You know, some levels of settings as opposed to following can mean that you get notifications via text, or maybe it goes to the top of your platform. It shows the top of your podcast platform a little bit quicker or differently than merely following does. So turn on those notifications. All right, guys, thanks for listening.